the word of the Lord. Let us turn together to the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 2. The book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne." Praise God. Let's read it again. "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne," on the throne. We need to understand that for us, for the church, we are concerned only by one fact. Everything we do, it is guided by that fact. That fact is the Lord with us or not with us? That's why this message is entitled Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Praise God. Let us say the Lord is there. Amen. This may sound very banal. It's a small thing. We say, of course, the Lord is there. We know. But we will find that everything going on in the Bible with the people of God is really about this issue. Once you find the Lord, the question is he still there with you? Is he there where you are? Because with many people, the Lord leaves. Do you know that it's very easy to get the Lord, to find the Lord, but it's very difficult for some people to keep him? So this is why it's a great blessing. In the book of Revelation, it says, "And there was a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Praise God. You see, the presence of God, do not take it lightly. When you receive the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, it is God's way of saying to you, Jehovah Shammah, now God is with you. God is in you. Hallelujah. God is now in you. This is something so many people were constantly trying to achieve. Praise God. Looking forward to. And here we found him. Should you not spend all your energy? Should you not do everything in your power to keep God in you, to keep God with you? Praise God. But we will find in the pages of the Bible that this is precisely the problem. This is precisely the challenge of the church. It was a challenge of Israel. Amen. So once we remind ourselves, Jehovah Shammah in the church. Amen. He is here. The Lord is there. Hallelujah. That's why when the angel came, it was not by accident that God told the angel to say his name shall be called Emmanuel. Amen. And that means, hallelujah, God is with us. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shammah. This is a great blessing. Do not take the presence of God for granted. Amen. You can take many things for granted, but do never take the presence of God for granted. Amen. So Jehovah Shammah basically means the Lord is there. But what does it mean in reality? Well, it means more than the Lord is there. It's not just a fact that the Lord is there. It is a profound awareness of God's constant presence. How do you know, Jehovah Shammah, that the Lord is there? Well, I am aware that he is here. There is a profound awareness. I know God is with me. I know he is here. I know he's living in me. Praise God. So throughout Scripture, we observe that God is not only present among his creation, but he also sovereignly reigns from his throne in heaven. Praise God. He's not only present, but he sovereignly reigns from his throne in heaven. So to say Jehovah Shammah is not a reference just to his presence being among us, but also that he reigns. Amen. He rules through his presence. Oh, hallelujah. You may have your parents as children when you were growing up. Your parents may have been physically present, but that is not the same as to say they were authoritatively present. It's two different things. There are parents with authority and those without. There are teachers with authority, those without. So it's not only a physical presence. Jesus does not want to be a God who is only physically present. He wants to be a God who is more than physically present. Hallelujah. He wants to be authoritatively present. Hallelujah. You should know he is around with authority. He should have dominion over your emotions, over your routine, over your day, over your week. He should have power that you can feel, tangible, palpable. This is Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. This is Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. We need Jehovah Shammah. We need a profound awareness that he is our Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to understand, look through the pages of the Bible. What does it mean, Jehovah Shammah? Praise God. Let us begin in heaven first, because where else is God supposed to be more than in heaven? What place do we associate with the presence of God more than heaven? Amen. That is his throne. Amen. The earth is his footstool, but heaven is his throne. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we need to be sensitive to this. Praise God. We need to be aware. So imagine if you were invited to go to heaven. What would you feel there? What do you see there? Anyone who is invited to go to heaven will know immediately, profoundly, that Jehovah Shammah here. God lives here. This is God's throne. This is God's throne. Praise God. So we need to understand this. Praise God. God has a place. This is what God was showing John. Why is he inviting John to this place at all? Just so that John can share with us what is the meaning of Jehovah Shammah. He can share with us what is Jehovah Shammah. Praise God. How are we going to know where God is? What God is? How is his presence like? How is his throne like? So this is why John was invited. I was in the spirit. A throne was set in heaven, and one sat in the throne. You see, on the earth, there is no respect for God, although God is here. But God wanted John to show us, to tell us how, what is the meaning of Jehovah Shammah? You see? So John went to heaven so he can teach us the meaning of Jehovah Shammah. See how the seraphim respect God. See how the cherubim respect God. See how the 24 elders respect God. Hallelujah. See the honor God has in heaven. This is Jehovah Shammah. How do we treat him on this earth? How do we respect him on this earth? So, the Jesus whom John saw, that people were spitting on him, laughing at him, treating him badly, now John saw how seraphim were praising him, how 24 elders fell before his throne. It was amazing for John to see the same Jesus who was with you on this earth, people were treating roughly. See in heaven how he's treated. Praise God. I'm afraid many people are not ready. They will get shocked when they see the way Jesus is treated in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Let's begin to treat Jesus on earth as he's treated in heaven. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus told us to pray, isn't it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Heaven should be, earth should become like the like heaven. Where are the 24 elders bowing down to Jesus? Where are the seraphim and cherubim shouting, holy, 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 hallelujah? May he be Jehovah Shammah. Make your house into Jehovah Shammah. Make your church into Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. Then Jesus will say, these are the people who know who I am. These are the people who respect my presence. I love to go to be with them. But look at how they treat me in that church. Look at how they treat me in this place. God have mercy. There are churches Jesus loves to go to more than other churches. There are homes Jesus loves to go more than other homes. There are people he loves to visit more than others. He said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Hallelujah. May we be David, the son of Jesse. So, we are first in heaven. Amen. The blessed presence of God in heaven. There is no place more Jehovah Shammah than heaven. Hallelujah. Those be blessed beings in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are just 24 hours a man shouting, holy, 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 hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful presence of God in heaven. What a powerful way they are serving him. We really should envy this. Amen. They surround his throne in worship, acknowledging his glory, the fullness of his presence. Praise God. God is good. We have much to learn about Jehovah Shammah. We need to be like the angels. Hallelujah. That's why we study them. Why do we study them? Because we want to honor the presence of God, the Jehovah Shammah. Let me remind you, in heaven, there was one angel who did not understand the meaning of Jehovah Shammah. His name was Lucifer. This creature, he thought that he can also get the same glory as God. Blasphemy. What happened to him? When a person doesn't recognize the meaning of Jehovah Shammah, look at what happened to him in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. The Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. God have mercy. So here we have the first consequence. When people don't understand the meaning of Jehovah Shammah, he was kicked out of heaven. And you know, when God kicks you out, you will fall like lightning. That is how powerful God is. Satan desired to elevate himself to the place of God, but he was cast out. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This fall reminds us of the gravity and consequences of rejecting the presence and authority of God. We must never take for granted the privilege of standing in the presence of the Almighty. The inhabitants of heaven are eternally blessed to be in the glorious presence of Jehovah Shammah, while those who have rebelled against him occupy a different fate. Which fate do we want to experience? That of the seraphim and cherubim? Or do we want to experience that of Lucifer? Lucifer did not want to respect Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. He refused to understand the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us, and the consequences forever he is separated from God. His destiny is the bottomless pit. I don't want to be in a bottomless pit. Amen. I want to be in the presence of God. You know, all human beings love a spectacle, isn't it? We all love something exciting, special effects. Wow. Oh, we love a show. Let me tell you, Jesus will give you the greatest show in the universe in heaven. The greatest spectacle, the greatest special effects, the greatest show in the universe is when we go to heaven and we see how Jesus is being glorified. Ha! Don't miss out on that spectacle. Ah, hallelujah. You know, people love circuses. They love this, what do they call it? All this amusement park. There's something with us human beings. We love fireworks and we love show. Well, let me tell you, the greatest show in the universe is coming. John was there. John wrote a bit. Oh my goodness. Eye has not seen, Paul said. Ear has not heard the things that God has. Compare that to the bottomless pit. Do you want to see the greatest show in the universe, or you want to be in a bottomless pit where you are constantly falling forever? Falling, falling, falling. Imagine asking Lucifer after 5 million years, Lucifer, what are you doing? I'm falling. After another 500 million years, Lucifer, what are you doing? I'm still falling. God have mercy. I don't mean to make fun of him, but that's going to be his future. A future of just falling and falling and falling. You see, when you want to rise up, then you fall. This man wanted to raise himself up. What happened? He's falling now. Do you see the punishment of God? He's not falling by accident. Let God raise us up. If you try to raise yourself up, to be arrogant, to be, then we will be falling forever. What a career, what a life. After 1 billion years, what are you doing, Lucifer? I'm falling, I'm still falling. When are you going to stop falling? Never. Imagine that is his future forever and ever and ever. And then God raises him up, fortunately. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I said 5 million years. No, 1,000 years. I correct myself. Sorry, I forgot. 1,000 years, he'll be falling. Even that is horrible enough. But in God, God is still merciful. I shouldn't say he's merciful to Satan, but I was thinking, I forgot, 1,000 years. And then he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. In the lake of fire. So 1,000 years of falling and then in the lake of fire. That is horrible. That is horrible. It's better to stand in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, raise me up. Invite me to come to see your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Not to usurp the authority of God. Can you imagine? The only person who tried to make a coup d'etat against God is Lucifer. The only person who ever tried to make a coup d'etat against God is Lucifer. God have mercy. So we need to understand this. It's extremely important that the first place we understand Jehovah Shammah is heaven. That is his territory. No evil will come there. It is truly Jehovah Shammah. The only way we can enter there is, as David said, I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, with praise. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the only way to enter there. Praise God. Then there was Jehovah Shammah in the desert with Israel. Amen. In the beginning, God was Jehovah Shammah in heaven. Then he became Jehovah Shammah in the desert on a journey with the people of God in Israel. Amen. You see, if we are journeying towards heaven, Jehovah Shammah, God will come to dwell with you, as he did with the children of Israel. God's presence is not limited to heaven. He actively seeks out and journeys with his people. During the Israelites' time in Egypt, God recognized their suffering. He recognized their desire for freedom. His promise was to deliver them. And as they journeyed toward the promised land, God's presence was undoubtedly with them. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 7 to and 8, it recounts how God spoke to Moses. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. Throughout their wanderings in the desert, despite their challenges and complaints, God remained their faithful companion. So we see the second time God said, I will dwell among them. The only place he dwelt where he was Jehovah Shammah was in heaven. Now he becomes Jehovah Shammah in the desert. Can you imagine this? Some people think God cannot dwell in a desert, a bad place. For God, where his people is, that is heaven for him. Praise God. Let me repeat that. For God, where his people are, his people who love him, who worship him, who submit to him, that is his heaven. He will dwell there. Amen. That's why he said, make me a tabernacle in the desert that I may dwell among them. Woo. And these are rebellious people. Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes you think God, Jesus, can only dwell in heaven. He doesn't like to. No. He's not that kind of a God. He really loves us. Yes, Brother Colley. He loves us. You know, he always amazes me. This Jesus of Nazareth turned my life upside down. I can tell you, not many people impress me. I'm not easily impressed. My whole life, it takes something special to impress me. But Jesus of Nazareth, for 38 years, he's been impressing me. 38 years. He keeps shocking. He's unique. He's God. If there is anyone who can be called God, it is Jesus alone. Amen. If a person meets Jesus and you don't, and you say he's not God, if you haven't met Jesus, you met somebody else calling himself Jesus. If you meet the real Jesus of Nazareth, you'll say, I met God. When I woke up, I told everybody, I met God. Who is this God? Jesus. They got shocked. They were offended. It's amazing why people are offended when they hear Jesus is God. What's your problem? Are you offended that two molecules of hydrogen combine with one molecule of oxygen and it becomes water? Are you offended by that? Deal with it. It's a fact in nature. I don't like two molecules of hydrogen combining with one molecule of oxygen. Listen, this world was here before you were born. And when you leave, it will still be H2O. Deal with it. Some things are a fact. That Jesus is God is a fact. Deal with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So, God said, I will dwell with them in the desert. Praise God. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter where you are, Jesus can dwell with you. That place can become Jehovah Shammah. God put his throne in the desert, in the great wilderness. Wow. Can Jesus put his throne anywhere? Yes, anywhere. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. You can make any place Jehovah Shammah. Any place. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'm going to the Sahara Desert. That will become Jehovah Shammah if you take Jesus with you. I'm going to the Arctic Pole. There are only polar bears and penguins, nothing else. Take Jesus with you there, it becomes Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. So the desert became Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. And that's why the desert changed. It gave water. Manna fell in the desert. Quails fell in the desert. Wow. Where God is, everything changes. All things become new. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, that is why Moses told God in Exodus chapter 30, 33, verse 15. He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Moses knew the only thing he needs. It doesn't matter if he's going to go through the desert. Doesn't matter if there are snakes there, if there are real snakes or human snakes. Doesn't matter if there's no water or bitter water. As long as God goes with me, it will change. It will become a nice place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shammah. Where Christians go, that place becomes Jehovah Shammah. Where the Ark of the Covenant was, it became Jehovah Shammah. The house of Obed-Edom was blessed. Amen. Somebody says, how do I know God is with me? I'm telling you, everything around you will change slowly. Praise God. Everything will behave well. The flowers will grow better. Amen. The trees will grow stronger. Hallelujah. Somehow you know the presence of God is with his people, Jehovah Shammah. You can hang around Christians, those who really serve God, and you will say, God is here, Jehovah Shammah. Amen. You remember Laban, the uncle of Jacob? The man was a mafia boss. But he was smart. I said he's a mafia boss. They're always smart, isn't it? He studied Jacob. And after some time, he said, listen, you know, I know you've been away 20 years from your family, but listen. I need you here because I've seen God is with you. Whatever you do is blessed. Everything around me is blessed because of you. You know, Laban surprises me because here is a guy. He's of the family of Abraham. Yeah, remember, listen to what I'm saying. He's of the family of Abraham. This is the second time God brought a witness to Laban's family. The first time through Abraham. Was Abraham not his family member? Did he not see how Abraham lived? But he's not listening. So God told Abraham, leave Laban, leave all these people. And after some years, the grandson of Abraham came. You know, the grandson of Abraham did not need to go back to that place. He was not supposed to. If Abraham was around, Abraham would stop him. Don't go to my family. Do you see now, brothers and sisters, why God told Abraham to leave his family? I mean, if your family are all like Laban and they have false gods, are you with me? These are the people Abraham was told to leave. They're corrupt, wicked. Jacob, because of his sins, he went back. But still, because of the mercy of God, because of Abraham, God was blessing him. And look, Laban does not give his life to God. He still wants to get the blessing without giving himself to the God of Abraham. This is the world we live in. That's why God said, leave, come out from among them. They only want the hand of God. They don't want the face of God. They don't want the heart of God. God does not like to bless you when you are living with Laban, when you are living with wicked people, because his blessings are not for the wicked people. Are you with me? Say amen. I don't know why the Spirit is trying to force me to say this. Some Christians, God, Jesus is not happy to give you blessing because you are living with Laban. His blessing is not for Laban. Come out from Laban. Amen. Let the idols of Laban take care of Laban. Why should our God bless Laban? Does it make sense? That's why God told Abraham, leave these people. They are just robbing my blessings. Hallelujah. This is important. This is not part of my message. This is the Spirit of God prompting me to say this. Are you around a Laban? Please come out. It will not end well. They want to take the blessings of God, but they don't want to give themselves to God. This is the wickedness of Laban. So Laban was telling Jacob, I know wherever you go is Jehovah Shammah. But I don't believe in your God. I just like the fact that he blesses his people. You see? What wickedness is this in the family of Abraham? That's why Abraham said, only go there to Eliezer, bring a wife, run away from there. There are some people you don't spend too much time. Give them some camels, give them some gold and run away. Take Rebecca and run away. Oh, hallelujah. What are you doing there with Laban for 20 years? Wherever you go becomes Jehovah Shammah, but Jehovah does not like to be Shammah where there is a Laban and wicked people who don't want to give their lives to Jesus. This is why Brother Kali left that church. They want a triune Jesus, a member of a triune Godhead. These people don't like the Jesus who is all powerful, who is Alpha and Omega. They don't like that. They want him to share his Alpha and Omega with two other Alpha and Omega. They don't like it that Jesus is the Almighty, the first and the last. They need two more Almighties, two more first and the last. They don't want to believe that all power is in the hands of Jesus. They want Jesus to divide, share his power. Don't be selfish. Give some of your power to God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. This religion is a false religion. Moses does not know this religion. Isaiah does not know this religion because he said, Moses said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Amen. You shall have no other gods before me. On the mountain, God wrote it with anger. Isaiah said, The son that is born is the everlasting father. Are they deaf? Why are churches so arrogant? So-called churches. And they want to tell us we are false in the false doctrine. Where does all doctrine come from? Is it not from the Bible, as Brother Kalle is saying? You know, I feel a holy anger. I love to meet these pastors. I love to tell them, since when are you greater than the Bible? Since when? Who gave you more authority than the Bible? Repent of this sin in Jesus' name. We live in a world of arrogant pastors. They have changed the word of God for doctrines of men. What's the difference between you and Pharisees? What is the difference between you and Pharisees? You love your own traditions more than the word of God. What? God have mercy. Repent of believing in the Trinity. This is a false doctrine that does not allow Jesus to have all power, to be the first and the last, to be the Alpha and Omega. Is that not a sin? In him dwells the fullness. If there is something not dwell, if whatever is not dwelling in Jesus is not God. Let's repeat it. Whatever is God dwells in Jesus, in that body. In him, Colossians 2:9, dwells the fullness. Everything that is God, you will find in this body of Jesus. If it's not there, it is not God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why Jesus is coming alone? Because there never was anybody else. Never. You're expecting somebody to come who never existed? You might as well expect Mickey Mouse to come or Donald Duck to come. They don't exist. They will not come. The only God who exists is Jesus. Only he will come. We need to get rid of this funny doctrine called the Trinity. It has no basis in the Bible, nothing. Thank God somebody recently sent me a message. I don't know where they are, but they write, she wrote, you saw it. I shared it with the WhatsApp group. I've read the book, One God Doctrine. I've understood Jesus is the only God. He's the Father. We clap, amen. This is our job, yes. Brother Kalev, if they want to say you met with that man, Brother Paul, say yes. That is his business. That is his mission in life, to destroy the doctrine of Trinity in Jesus' name. This we commit ourselves to. In the name of Jesus, we will fight this doctrine. because it's not from God. It is a lie that the devil brought into the church. Our job is to fight it and destroy it in the name of Jesus, with the help of Jesus. This, we do not even hide our mission. We make it clear. There is only one God. We are jealous for his glory. Because if God is one, as the Bible says, then it's one of the biggest lies, blasphemies that has been put in the church. Who is behind it? Who else is behind it? The guy who was kicked out of heaven, Lucifer. When he could not be God, he said, I will go down and corrupt the doctrine of God. I will tell them there is more than one God. And the church believed it. The European church. God have mercy. No, God always has a witness of the truth. Amen. If the whole world becomes corrupt, God will raise up somebody. From the rocks, the stones, he will raise up children for Abraham. You know why? Because the children of Abraham never say God is a Trinity. Never. They will always say God is one. Abraham made one altar, not three altars. Praise God. Father Abraham is a one God believer, and that's why he's seated at the table in heaven. Only those who say God is one will be seated at that table. The greatest of all commandments, listen, the greatest of all commandments God ever gave us is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And salvation is of the Jews. If you don't want to listen to the Jews, you have already chosen to go to hell. You've already chosen. So all those who believe in Trinity, they believe salvation is of the Greeks. Salvation is from Europe, and that's why they're corrupted with the Trinity doctrine. But those who believe salvation is of the Jews, as I do, we go to the Jews to listen. And I'm telling you, read the Bible. The Bible is written by Jews. What do they say? They all said God is one. Then they said, the apostles said, this one God, great is the mystery of godliness. God, which God? Which God do you think Paul is believing? This Hebrew of the Hebrews? This man who sat at the feet of Gamaliel? He said, God, Elohim, this God was manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. This is what Paul said. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. I told one pastor in Africa, you are not greater than the Bible. Amen. You are not an apostle. You are not a prophet. You are not in the Bible. I suggest to you, you repent in Jesus' name for all the years you've been preaching a Trinity and be baptized in the name of Jesus. When it comes to the Word of God, we fear nobody. We will tell you the Word of God. Amen. Because we fear God more than anybody. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. He was a missionary many years traveling in the name of his church from the USA. Doesn't matter where you're from. These scriptures were received from heaven. Nobody in the Bible received the Trinity. Never. So salvation is of the Jews, and the Jews said God is one. The Europeans said God is a Trinity. You have to decide. You want to follow Europe or you want to follow the Jews who received the truth. Amen. It's that simple. We make it clear when we finish preaching apostolic people, we don't speak in mysteries. The time of mysteries is over. We tell you straight, God is one. No divisions in him. Never has been. This anything else outside of the Bible is satanic. The Trinity is satanic, 100% satanic. Throw it out of your house. Clean it out of your mind. Amen, your soul in Jesus' name. God bless you, brother Kalle, for really standing for this truth. God bless you. We are not going to win people by just not telling them the truth. The apostles were preaching like this, like how we are talking. Why were they beaten? Because they turned Jerusalem upside down. They preach with authority. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. We must be saved by the name of Jesus. Not Elohim, not Adonai, not Father, not Son, not Holy Ghost. Only in the name of Jesus, praise God. How difficult is this to understand, praise God. Let's be clear. Are we going to fear this world and we come to heaven and hang our heads in shame? Or do you want this world to hate you, beat you, but you come in heaven, all the angels are clapping for you in Jesus' name? That's what we want. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shammah. Let me come back to Jehovah Shammah. This is for the people who are hearing the recording. We don't know who, where. Somebody in Portland, Oregon, whatever, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, somebody in Tokyo, Japan may hear this message and come to the revelation. People are contacting us saying they're reading the book. They want to translate it. They're really understanding Jesus is the Father. The revelation will come back before Jesus returns. We are part of that movement to say, come back to the preaching of the apostles. Amen. Listen to what the Jews preach about salvation. Stop listening to the Europeans. Europeans didn't have, God was not manifest in Europe, in the flesh in Europe. He was manifest in the flesh in Israel. The people who were with him for 3 years were Israelites, Jews. Amen. So we need to get serious. Hallelujah. We need to go back to the prophets and apostles. This is what we are founded upon. Amen. We are not founded on the foundation of Canadians or Japanese or whatever. Get serious. Hallelujah. Let's continue. The next one is, we are talking about Jehovah Shammah. We don't apologize for these things. Amen. We don't apologize. This is the word of God. This is salvation. This is the truth. Amen. The departure of God's presence, Ichabod. There was a time Jehovah Shammah became Ichabod. What happened? There came a time when God's presence was withdrawn from Israel, marking a tragic turn in their story. This moment is poignantly captured in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. She named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. See, the Israelites had begun to place their trust not in God, but in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant became a talisman of victory. It began to replace the real presence of God. You cannot substitute the spiritual presence of God with anything material. When they failed to honor God, they lost the very presence they had once taken for granted. Each abode symbolizes a spiritual void, a lamentation for the absence of the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, this serves as a sobering reminder that the presence of God cannot be assumed or taken lightly. When we choose to live in disobedience or fail to uphold His commandments, we risk losing the divine presence, the Shekinah glory of God. Ichabod cautions us to earnestly seek and cherish God's presence in our lives, lest we find ourselves spiritually barren and devoid of His glory. Never let it be said, Ichabod. Never let it be said, the glory has gone. Take care of the glory of God in your house, in your family, in your church, in the conferences. Amen. Let it never be said, Ichabod. I went to their church and Ichabod. I went to their conference and Ichabod. The glory of God is departed. Let it be said, Jehovah Shammah. I was in that house and Jehovah Shammah in that house. I was in that church and Jehovah Shammah in that house. I felt His presence. God is there in their midst. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees a futuristic city. And in the end, he says, and the name of that city shall be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. May Jehovah Shammah, may it always be said, Jehovah Shammah. When I talk to that person, Jehovah Shammah. When I go to that house, Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. I tell you, there was a church in India, they used to joke about it. Even the people of that church, it was a Methodist church. It was called Church of North India. Methodist Church. CNI. CNI for short. So I was in that village to preach many years ago. I said, what's the name of this church? They told me it's called CNI. I said, what does it stand for? They told me, Christ Not Inside. Imagine there is a church, the people themselves call it CNI. It stands for Christ Not Inside. It's actually supposed to mean Church of North India. But Christ not inside. Imagine if people begin to call our church Christ not inside church, Ichabod Church. God have mercy. No. Say Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. We will do everything in our power to make sure the fire of God will fall upon this place. What use is a building you call the temple when the glory of God does not exist? Where people come there and feel nothing. And we say, oh, God is here. No, God is not here. Is God in your house? Is God in your church? Oh, praise Jesus. So, in the days of the children of Israel, in the days of Eli, because Eli never corrected his sons or Eli, he did not care what they were doing in the church, wicked things. He kept on and on behaving like it's anyhow Ichabod. So one day God said, they act like I'm not here. I might as well go. Nobody will miss me. And you know, when God left, they all collapsed. Do you know that some church people, we are only living because God is with us? If the ark were to go, Eli will fall down and die. His sons will die. The ark will go. Without Jesus, we'll collapse. If he leaves us, he will take his blessing. Maybe we were supposed to die 40 years ago, 20 years ago. But because the Jehovah Shammah, the glory of God, was on the ark, they were living. They were okay. But when they began to disrespect his presence, God left and they died. Don't take your blessings for granted. Understand what I'm saying. Some of us, our lives are connected to Jesus in every way, or we would have died long ago. So hold on to Jesus. Make sure the Ark of the Covenant is not just an empty box. Make sure not only the Ten Commandments are inside. Let me tell you, the Ten Commandments were inside the Ark, yeah? The pot of manna was inside, yeah? Say amen. The rod of Aaron was inside, yeah? But still the glory of God left. Don't think just because you have a Bible in your house, the glory of God is with you. Don't think because in the church we have a pulpit, we have music instruments, we have Bibles, so the glory of God is with us. No. The Ark of the Covenant had all these things and still the glory departed. God have mercy. Make sure you have the Spirit of God, the fire of God. Do you feel His Spirit? Do you know Jehovah Shammah? Do you feel Jehovah Shammah? Hallelujah. One day Samson shook himself. He thought, Jehovah Shammah, well, no matter what I do, Jehovah Shammah. But one day he shook himself. He realized, you don't control God. God controls you. We do not control where God can be. He decides where he will be. Our job is to plead with him. Lord Jesus, I beg you. I need your presence with me. If you don't come and go with us, I don't want to go, Moses said. That's why God always answered Moses. Always loved Moses. I will go with you. Amen. But some people think that God is there. God have mercy to speak in such terms. Some pastors may believe that God is their hostage. They have power to keep God where they want. These are the same pastors who command angels. I command you, angels. Sometimes you may provoke an angel to slap us. That'll be the end of it. God have mercy. Zechariah is a high priest, and the angel shut his mouth. He told him, I'm Gabriel. In other words, watch how you are speaking to me. Don't joke with Gabriel. These are not people who receive orders from human beings. They don't take nonsense from human beings. They get orders from Jesus, not from human beings. Jesus, we cannot manipulate him. We cannot tell him where to be, when to come, when to go. If you say, Lord, now I'm ready, the Lord says, I was ready a long time ago. I didn't see you. Now I'm leaving. We have to wait upon the Lord. We have to beg him for his presence. We don't command angels. They don't like that. So we need to be very careful. We need to understand these things. Sorry if I'm putting it across in a rough way, but I know churches which do these things, and then the end, the corruption comes out. Since when did pastors command angels? I remember one preacher in a conference saying, "I command you to receive the Holy Ghost." What? I command you to receive the Holy Ghost. Listen, you cannot, you can be almost blaspheming. It's like you command, so and then the Holy Ghost will come. Do you command Jesus? Are you not afraid of Jesus? We need to watch our words. The Spirit of Jesus is sensitive. We are told to go and wait in the upper room. They were commanded to do that. Jesus commands us. We don't command it. We don't command anybody to receive the Holy Ghost. We lay hands and we pray. And we plead with the Lord. Send your fire. Have mercy upon this vessel, empty vessel. Hallelujah. Remind him of his promises. But don't command anybody about anything. We don't have this power. It's arrogance. It's dangerous. Praise God. I'm speaking about Jehovah Shammah. The presence of God is sensitive. It's holy. Our job is not to begin to cheat people and think we can manipulate the presence of God. We can't manipulate anything with God. We don't know when he comes, when he goes. It's like the wind, Jesus said. Amen. The wind bloweth where it listeth. He's asking Nicodemus, can you command the wind? No. Who has commanded the wind? Anybody? I mean, the meteorologists. I remember there was a time, tomorrow we think there is a, it could be this, probably. If they could, they would command the wind. But so far, there's no such technology. And nobody can command the Spirit of the Lord. He is God. He's sovereign. He does what he wants. Hallelujah. And what he does is good. Amen. Do what you want, Jesus. It's good. Hallelujah. So we need to be careful. We don't want Ichabod. We want Jehovah Shammah. Now, the ultimate Jehovah Shammah is when the word was manifested in the flesh. As Brother Kali was explaining earlier, this is the ultimate expression of Jehovah Shammah. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy. This Danish lady wants a controversy with Brother Kale. But Brother Kale, you should tell her, without controversy. It's written here, no controversy when it comes to this issue. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You can't deny this. God was manifest in the flesh. God walked among us as the Word made flesh, bringing heaven to earth. Wherever he went, the reality of God's presence was apparent. He healed the sick, raised the dead, restored life. He brought peace to the troubled. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek, lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Why could he say all of this? Because he is Jehovah Shammah. He is Immanuel. He's God with us. Jesus is God with us. We see in this call his desire to dwell with us, to lift our burdens through his presence. The blessings of Jehovah Shammah come forth in the compassion and grace of Christ, revealing that through him, our relationship with God is restored and intimate. Jesus is not a distant figure. He's the embodiment of God's relentless pursuit of humanity. He's the embodiment, the Word made flesh. When you see the Word made flesh, when you hear Word made flesh, you know God will never leave humanity. He truly wants to be Jehovah Shammah. And finally, today he is Jehovah Shammah in the church. His presence is among us through the Holy Ghost. As believers in his name, we experience Jehovah Shammah in the continuity, the community of the church. Matthew 18, 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This promise signifies each time we come together for worship, prayer, fellowship, we invite Jehovah Shammah, the presence of God in our midst. Right now, in the midst of this meeting, there is a cloud of his presence, Jehovah Shammah. This gathering is not just a social function. It's a sacred opportunity to encounter the divine. When the church functions as it should, it becomes a home for the presence of God, a place where hearts are transformed, lives are changed. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says in conclusion, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Say, we are an habitation of God, Jehovah Shammah. The body of Christ is where the Spirit of Christ dwells. Where is Jehovah Shammah today? In the church, in the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is why we believe wherever two or more are gathered in his name, Jesus is there. Where two or more, just two people gather in Jesus' name, and you become Jehovah Shammah. Praise God. I know I'm speaking to people who love Jesus, or you would not be here today. I'm speaking to people who have sacrificed for Jesus. You are like Abraham. You are like Jacob. You left many things for Jesus. Jesus knows it. Jesus sees it. Wherever you go, may his presence go with you. May Jesus never leave you. And may you never leave the presence of Jesus. May your house be a Jehovah Shammah, where people visit your house and feel this is not just a house where Brother Lars or Brother Simon and their family is living. There is somebody else living in this house. I feel his presence. Who is living here? And then you can witness to them, Jehovah Shammah. You know, where you come together in Jesus' name, automatically he comes there. Even in the fire, he came with the three Hebrew children. So what? Can he be Jehovah Shammah in a burning fire? Yes. They said the fourth man is like the Son of God. Wow. I told you, desert or no desert, fire or no fire. If you really come together in Jesus' name, Jesus is there. Praise God. Amen. I feel him right now. He's here. That's what we mean by Jehovah Shammah. I know. Jehovah Shammah, hallelujah. My God is here. I'm not worthy of his presence. Many times I ask him, when I'm praying and I feel the glory of God so powerful, I fall on the ground and start screaming. You say, are you crazy? Well, Jesus makes you crazy. The presence of God makes you crazy. Afterwards, a good crazy, a beautiful crazy. Is it normal to be beautifully crazy? Yes. Joy unspeakable and full of glory in biblical language. In colloquial language, beautiful crazy. In the street language, hallelujah. I don't know how else to describe it. You go beautifully crazy. You just laugh, smile, jump, the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. You look at people, either they know it or they don't know. When I see Brother Kalle, as soon as he begins to laugh, I laugh with him. I say, this guy, he has what I have. He knows what I have. Ah, we such people, we don't need to talk much. We feel. Do you feel what I feel? Amen. We connect. This is Jesus, hallelujah. The Jesus who makes you laugh for no reason, jump around for no reason. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. I love to laugh with Brother Kalle because this is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus in him. You know, when Elizabeth greeted Mary, what happened? When Mary greeted Elizabeth, the baby jumped in the stomach. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Jesus makes you laugh. You know, I when I felt his presence, I told the Lord, I don't deserve this, Lord. This is so wonderful. You know, if the people in the psychiatric hospitals receive 10% of this, There will be no jobs for psychiatrists. Every mental hospital will be emptied because he does not give you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Praise God. A little bit of Jesus for everybody. And a little bit of Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have language to explain these things. That's why we tell people, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is wonderful. That's, you know, it's amazing. Isaiah began by saying, his name shall be. We always jump to everlasting Father because we have an agenda. Yeah. Of course, we have agenda. Let's be honest. But because we have agenda, don't forget, he said his name shall be wonderful. Let's begin with wonderful. We sing the song, wonderful, wonderful. Jesus says to me, hallelujah. Jesus is not, you don't just jump for an agenda to fight the Trinitarians. Amen. When Isaiah said his name will be wonderful, he's not thinking about Trinitarians. Amen. He doesn't know what is Trinity. He's just telling you, Jesus, the first name of this child is wonderful. So the moment you mention his name, you should feel wonderful. His name is wonderful, and he makes you feel wonderful. And somebody says, how are you doing today? Tell them, wonderful. Say, wow, that was a powerful wonderful. Why? Because wonderful is in me. What's wrong with you? His name is Jesus. Praise God. The wonderful Jesus in us. We are not just dealing with a dry doctrine, please. One God people, we are not just shouting about a one God, and then there's no joy. No, we have felt the joy of this one God. Only the truth will give you joy. Only the truth will give you happiness. Only the truth will make you feel wonderful. Hallelujah. So let me connect it back again to Jehovah Shammah. Say Jehovah Shammah. In heaven, he's Jehovah Shammah. In the desert, he was Jehovah Shammah. In the fire with the Hebrew children, he was Jehovah Shammah. In the prison with Paul and Silas, he was Jehovah Shammah. Our job is not to worry about Nebuchadnezzar's fire, the Amalekites in the desert. Our job, brothers and sisters, listen carefully to me, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, make that place Jehovah Shammah. That's your business. Once you make it into Jehovah Shammah, Brother Merawi, where you cut hair, the barber, make it into Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. The moment your scissors will touch the person's hair, may he shout, oh, what is this I'm feeling here? Hallelujah. Jehovah Shammah is here. Jesus is here. Praise God. Amen. May God make your house a Jehovah Shammah, your business a Jehovah Shammah, your wherever you go, a Jehovah Shammah. Jesus bless you. Let's pray in conclusion. May Jehovah Shammah be with you tomorrow in the church. May your Monday be Jehovah Shammah. Your Tuesday be Jehovah Shammah. Your Wednesday be Jehovah Shammah. Your Thursday and Friday be Jehovah Shammah. If it's not Jehovah Shammah, say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to Monday if it's not Jehovah Shammah. If you don't go before me to Sunday, Jesus, don't show me Sunday in Jesus. Praise God. May Jehovah Shammah bless you. Jehovah Shammah, whose name is Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah, Jehovah Shammah. He is there. He's there, praise God. When you have problems in your life, if your child is about to die, if your husband is about to die, if your mother is about to die, the first thing you should check is Jehovah Shammah in your house? If he's there, don't worry. Hallelujah. You know, Mary and Martha, we criticize them, but they did the right thing. When their brother became sick, they said, where is Jesus? Is Jesus with us? Their only problem is they thought Jesus has to be physically with them. No. Jehovah Shammah in the spirit. Hallelujah. Send your word. It is enough for me. I don't need you to be physically. This Roman centurion had more faith than Mary and Martha. Don't think that because people make food for Jesus, they are moving, walking with Jesus, holding his hand, that they have more faith. The Roman centurion does not live with Jesus. He never made food for Jesus. He looks like he's very far from Jesus, but he's closer to Jesus by faith. Amen. He has more faith than Mary and Martha. You don't need to come to my house. Just send the word. It is sufficient. Ah, don't feel sad if somebody seems to be closer to Jesus than you. They may not have the same faith as you. We are not in competition here. Some churches, some people think they are closer to the pastor, so they're closer to Jesus. The pastor is not Jesus. Don't worry about politics in the church. Just live for Jesus. Amen. Jesus is everywhere. Praise God. And the greatest faith is to know he sees me also. Jehovah Roi. He's not only Jehovah Roi when I'm with Abraham. Jehovah Roi is Hagar. Hagar said, he is Jehovah Roi. I know my God sees me. He didn't see her because she's in the house of Abraham. He sees her outside the house of Abraham. Pray. He's a wonderful God. Why do we hate Ishmael? He gave life to Ishmael. He blessed Ishmael. He's Jehovah Roi for Ishmael. Amen. If my name is Ishmael, Jehovah Roi, he sees me also. He sees you also. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you for this message, Jesus. We've been here and there with words, my God, but we know your spirit is what matters. Your word is invisible. Your word, your spirit is invisible. It is invisible we focus on. We call upon your name, Jesus, to bless your people today. Grant them grace to understand this message, to invest their efforts in Jehovah Shammah, to do everything in their power for your presence to be with them, to go with them, that everyone may know that you are Jehovah Shammah in the lives of your people, in the minds of your people, in the souls of your people, in the jobs of your people. Wherever they go, Jehovah Shammah go with them. You are not only Jehovah Shammah in heaven, you came down to this earth. You were with them in the desert. You dwelt in a tabernacle. You were there in Shiloh with them. You dwelt in a tabernacle in Shiloh. You were there in Jerusalem. And then you came to Bethlehem. Praise God. And then you rose up to heaven and came back in the spirit to be in the whole earth. Today, you can be Jehovah Shammah in the whole earth. Hallelujah. We bless you for this message, Jehovah Shammah, whose name is Jesus. We pray wherever this message will go, it will bless hearts. It will remove confusion. It will bring people to surrender at the altar of truth, Jesus. Bless your people. These are your people. They're precious in your sight. Nobody can pay the price you've paid for your people. Our job is to minister to them. Our job is to be servants. Help us to be servants, nothing more. These are your people. We commit them into your hands. Bless their homes. Bless their families, their children. Bless their job, their finances. We are going towards a difficult time in this time of the year where people may sometimes feel lonely. In the midst of so-called joy and inclusion, where Jesus is not there, there is pressure. The loneliness becomes more lonely. The sadness becomes more sad. But without you, that we are exposed, Jesus. So bless your people. Take care of their minds, their souls, their bodies. Heal those who need healing, Jesus. Restore healing, restore faith, restore hope in the name of Jesus. Above all, if anyone lacks faith, grant them faith, Jesus. Help their unbelief, Jesus. For without faith, we cannot please God. We believe in your word. We believe in your deity. We believe in the finished work of Calvary. We believe you came. You rose. You died for us. You were buried for 3 days. You rose the third day. You're returning soon, Jesus. We believe it. We believe everything in your word. We believe in heaven that must be coveted. We believe in a hell that must be shunned. We believe in heaven. We believe in your great throne, the angels. We believe in the seraphim. We believe in all of these things. We believe you will return in a white horse. We believe in the 1,000 years millennium. We believe in the battle of Gog and Magog before that. We believe in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and new earth. We believe in eternity with you. We believe Jesus, because we cannot not believe. We believe. We are made to believe. This is our blessing on this earth. This is our greatest treasure on this earth. It is not anything else, nothing else, except our faith in you. Thank you for this faith. Help your people with this faith. Bless this faith. Let it grow, multiply. In Jesus' name we pray. The church says amen. God bless you. Amen. I yield the mic.